listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming here on KLYT and ABQ Connect, our show. Dave Slade and Associates is 342-8100. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. John Jones in studio with me this afternoon, and John, I should have probably printed that out in a larger font, is
okay.
What I'm thinking.
It's okay. It's all good.
It's like me. I'm getting notes all the time, and they're written in like a 10-point font.
Exactly.
And I look at people and go, I think I need 14.
I'm not ashamed to say I read a large print Bible, but no. So.
John is the CEO and president of LifeQuest in Albuquerque, and it's an amazing ministry because, John, you've described in past episodes with us that you work with incarcerated youth, but now you're actually working hard to keep kids from being incarcerated or working with them before they become incarcerated. So tell us what you do.
Sure. Well, a little bit of everything. LifeQuest is here to serve the youth of New Mexico. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. We do work in the facilities, and we're just getting ready to go back in again, which we're really excited about that. Can I tell you how tired I am of Zoom meetings, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
So we do work with incarcerated youth. And the thing that makes LifeQuest unique is we follow the kids once they come out of the facility. We do Bible studies, of course. We do character development classes. We do GED tutoring. We do recovery groups. But everything we do is in the hope of a staff or a volunteer building a one-on-one mentoring relationship with the youth while they're inside. And then we follow them outside because that's where the rubber meets the road.
I am hoping that our listeners, as they listen to you this afternoon, we're going to have you all the way up to the top of the hour, will think about what you just said about volunteering and possibly being a mentor because you provide some training, but you're actually asking people to maybe make a lifelong commitment to somebody that needs that assistance.
Well, it's kind of the model we were given, I believe. And, I've had a number of volunteers ask in the beginning. It said, well, are you looking for a 1-year, 2-year commitment? And that's fine if you want to do a Bible study. That's fine if you want to do a character development group, if you have special skills to do GED tutoring or something like that. Sure, a year or two is great. But if you want to mentor a kid, you need to be prepared. Last thing in the world I want to see is someone build a relationship with a young man or young woman, they walk out the door, and then that person's no longer there for them. Mm-hmm. They've had enough of that in their life. They don't need anybody else dropping them, abandoning them. And it really isn't – it's interesting. We always talk about you can't outgive God. Mm-hmm. Well, that applies to our time too. But you don't know it until you try it. Mm-hmm. But I have found that I'm mentoring a number of young men right now, and usually our talks come later in the afternoon or evening, and, you know, generally it's a talk on the phone. It might be a text conversation, might be Facebook message, because that's how these young people communicate. Mm-hmm. But occasionally get together for breakfast or McDonald's or whatever it is and just spend some time going over how their life's going, what's going on in their life, Hey, how's your time with God? Are you seeking God right now? Well, my God, time's hard. Okay, I understand. I said, just don't give up on it. Keep trying. Keep working towards it. And, you know, sometimes we'll do specific things, take them through specific studies. But actually, all it is being their friend and walking beside them. I personally have had the same mentor for over 20 years now. And there's no way in the world, Jim, I would have been able to stay in the ministry that I do as long as I have if he wasn't there. I call him at least once every couple months and tell him I quit. I'm done. I'm tired.
John, you've shared your personal story, but I'd like you to share a story of maybe somebody that you've mentored that's been through, let's say, substance abuse,
okay,
maybe conflicts with their parents. They've been in the juvenile justice system, but now after meeting Jesus, they're doing good. Are there some examples?
Oh, a number of them. Talk about a young man named Eric I met. Eric grew up in a very strict religious environment. But he grew up in church, was forced to go to church all the time. And, His parents divorced when he was about 13, and he said, it all seemed so hypocritical to me. It all seemed so wrong. And he ended up falling deep into alcoholism, deep into alcoholism. And we met. He asked if I would mentor him, and told him I would. But I thought this was funny because he asked me one day after we'd been working together for about a year. He said, do you know why I ask you to mentor me? And I'm like, no, really, I have no idea. He said, you live life more forgiven than any human being I've ever met. He said, you just don't talk about God forgives you. He said, I see it lived out in your life. And I'm like, thank you. I appreciate that. But Eric is today married, has a son that was born incredibly prematurely, who's now, I think, 15. Eric and I still talk regularly. Great guy. But doing with others what I've done with him now. And there's, I could give you a number of stories like that, Jim.
Well, I'm thinking about people that may be listening now. And by the way, this is not just boys. This is
girls
as well. So I'm thinking about a mom. Maybe she's raised her children. She's still a great mom, maybe doing the grandmother thing, but maybe she has a little more time on her hands. Same thing with a grandfather.
They make some of our best mentors. They really do. Exactly the situation you've described.
How about a 30-year-old man or a 30-year-old woman that's never been married, has some time? How will mentoring somebody change their life?
I tell everyone who's interested in mentoring the same thing that I tell the young people I work with, because I hear this all the time. Oh, you're so busy. I don't want to take your time. I hate to ask you to do this. And I tell everyone, look, I'm going to get far more out of this than you are. I always do, because everything I hear coming out of my mouth that I'm sharing with the young person, I can't tell you how many times I've thought to myself, wow, that's a really good idea. I ought to try that soon. But because, let's face it, we're all on this journey together. We all fall short. We all struggle, getting by day to day. But it is so much easier when you do it with somebody else. And we live in a society that is very disconnected as a result of modern technology. Fascinates me how difficult it is to just sit down and have a conversation with a young person today. They would rather sit across the table from you and text back and forth with you than to talk to you. And I'm afraid that's something we're losing, is that ability to build relationships.
I've made fun of my five children who I have had occasion. They're all five of them in the same room. They're all five of them on their cell phones. And the funny thing is they're texting each other and they're in the same room. And I'm like, what?
It's crazy.
Can you put those down and just have a conversation? Well, I want to ask you about the 413 journey.
Absolutely.
Stories coming out of that ministry now. Tell us about what it is and what's happening with it.
God gave Chris the vision for the 413 journey, which is combining teaching life skills, biblical principles to young people. It's a classroom setting once a week for 12 weeks. And then every other week, there's an outdoor adventure. We've done rappelling, rock climbing, hiking. They're going to a rock and roll camp where they will learn to play an instrument in a single day this Saturday. Learn to play an instrument in a single day. Partnering with Kevin at Rock 101, and then they put on a concert at the end of the day. So lots of fun, exciting stuff that they may never have experienced. And we're just coming up to the end of our first 12-week group. This was our launch. This was the first group we did. And it's amazing. You know, we've got some kids who are superstars. I mean, they just are awesome young people. And then we've got kids that are really struggling in life right now. And that's okay too. We want both. It truly is a leadership development program. But at the same time, some of the best leaders are some of the people who've struggled the most.
I can tell you from personal experience and being involved in basketball coaching for mm-hmm. many, many years, I am always somehow drawn to the kids that are struggling rather than the superstars. And I've enjoyed that so much because you see the kids that are struggling literally become superstars. Not necessarily the best players,
right?
But the people that have the best handle on life and what God wants them to be. And it's almost because they had those struggles that that's true.
No, I would agree with that. By the way, I just have to bring this up. how much fun was the basketball game last night? Go Suns.
Anyway. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's sad to see the Lakers go down in flames, but hey, that's just the way it goes.
Not for somebody who lived in Phoenix for 20 years, Jim.
There
so,
you go.
We finally got one. But anyway, no, look, we tell the young people God has a plan for their life. And I believe that God has a plan for everyone's life, and our job is to simply find out what that is and align ourselves with that. And I believe that's when you start to find your joy in your journey.
If I told you my normal, that would be way different than your normal and what your experiences were when you were 25 years old, way different than mine. So mm-hmm. describe for us what normal means to a lot of these kids.
Well, especially the kids that are in the facilities that are well on their way to the facilities. Normally what you'll find is they come from a single parent household, if there is a single parent at all.
And when you say on their way to facilities, I need to clarify it. That means they're on their way to jail.
That is correct. They may be in the, on probation. They may have been, arrested numerous times. It's hard to get locked up today as a juvenile. You've got to really make a lot of mistakes or one horrendous mistake. But, they come from homes where they've seen, gang activity, where they've seen drugs being sold and bought, where weapons are very common. And coming from an environment, and this is one of the things we have to teach our volunteers, that jail, going to jail does not scare our kids. They've been going to jail since they could remember visiting relatives. Mm. So that's their normal. That is their normal. And, fear never is, because when you're a young person, I just had this conversation 2 weeks ago with a 17-year-old young man. And I said, look, you're doing some really stupid stuff. And at some level, you have to know it's stupid. But I know you think you're never going to die. When you're a teenager, no one thinks they're ever going to die. I said, but I've buried way too many young people since coming to work at LifeQuest. I think the number's 30 now in the 8 years I've been here. So young people do die. But again, fear's never going to turn that corner. What's the opposite of fear is faith. And so trying to help them develop faith in something different than what they're doing. And in the beginning, that just may be faith in their mentor. But everything we do is in hopes of seeing this young person eventually connect with Jesus.
Well, I love the approach, and I love what you're asking people to do if they do want to volunteer. And I want to ask how they get in touch with you in just a second. But I appreciate that you're not sugarcoating what it takes to be a volunteer and what it takes to love somebody literally for a lifetime. And more than anything, how it's going to be rewarding, and you're going to see the fruit of having a ministry as a mentor.
Jesus said that no greater love is a man than this, that he lay down his life for a friend. What is that other than giving up some of my time, some of my plans, to serve somebody else and to walk beside them, whether it's for a year or 5 years or the rest of your life? That is truly laying down your life, because we don't live in a culture where we're probably not going to be martyred for our faith, at least not today.
Yes.
I mean, certainly could happen in the not too distant future, but not today. So what does that mean to lay down your life for someone else? And I think giving up one of our most valuable commodities, which is our time, is one of the best ways we can do that.
John Jones is the president and CEO of LifeQuest USA Ministries in New Mexico. They work throughout the entire state. We have another 15 minutes or so with John to the top of the hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In. In the new movie A Quiet Place 2, now in theaters, we return to a near-future version of Earth where spider-like aliens with extraordinary hearing stalk humanity's survivors. Make a sound, and you're dead. Evelyn Abbott is doing her best to survive that world with her two children and an infant, but they're going to need help if they want to see tomorrow. Once again, alien attacks are intense, and a handful of profanities turn up. But this story also emphasizes love, family, and sacrifice. So we're giving A Quiet Place Part 2 a 2.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. And be sure to check us out on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
You don't have to look very far to find bad news. It seems to be everywhere. In our news feed, in social media, on our favorite TV shows, and even in our hearts.
You're away from God. There's no peace in your heart, no joy, no security, no real happiness.
Billy Graham.
There's problems in your home, problems in your business, problems in your personal life. You're in the grip of some terrible habit.
But in the midst of bad news, there is good news.
God will reach down into the mire of sin and pick you up by his own strength and change you from the inside out. God will not give up. He loves you too much. And he says, I want to save you. I'll restore you. I will give you a joy that you never had before.
If you could use more of that good news, then go to findpeacewithgod.net. It's from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
While many of us see signs of a return to normalcy, others around the globe continue to battle the pandemic. In South Asia, a second COVID-19 wave is ravaging communities there in what is being called a tsunami of suffering. Gospel for Asia is doing what they can to ease the suffering, but support for their efforts is desperately needed. Pray about your involvement and log into gfa.org/coronavirus for regular updates and an opportunity to make a financial donation. That's gfa.org/coronavirus or call 800-946-2742. John Jones with LifeQuest USA in studio. And John, you have a fundraiser coming up Monday.
We do. It's our biggest event of the year. It's the 8th annual LifeQuest Charity Golf Classic. We have become one of the largest golf tournaments in Albuquerque in just 8 short years. Tournaments sold out. We'll be expecting close to 200 golfers. We'll have about 30 volunteers participating that day. It'll be a great day for us.
Well, we need to pray that you have great weather.
I think it's 91 degrees and not a cloud in the sky.
So. There's some other ways, though, even though you can't sign up to play golf this year, that you can help at the event, some raffle prizes and other things?
Absolutely. If you want to go to our website, you can purchase raffle tickets. And we just got some awesome prizes this year. Heritage Hotels have donated gift certificates, Heritage Hotels and Resorts, and you could use it at their resort in Taos. In Santa Fe, in Albuquerque, or in Las Cruces. We have a big screen TV that we'll be giving away. We have a beautiful grill that Lowe's donated. Just a great bunch of prizes. And, you know, it's a fun way to support our efforts and maybe have a chance to win something. So,
and the website is lifequestusa.org.
Correct.
I want you to mention the special event you have coming up in Las Cruces. Now we have a lot of listeners in Las Cruces.
Yeah, we're really excited. Just getting ready to go back into facilities. In fact, we were not able to do this last year. We do a 3-day seminar with the young men called Ready for Life. It's put on by Straight Ahead Ministries out of Boston. Dr. Scott Larson flies in, brings his crew with him. And Scott's been working in juvenile justice ministry for 30 years and change now. But it's just an awesome three-day program that really challenges the young men not just why they've done what they've done, or not to talk about what they've done, but their thinking that got them there. And the last thing, the last assignment the young men have, their last homework before the final day, is they're asked to write their story. But not like most people write their story. They're told not to write their story from birth till now, but to look at it 10 years into the future and to make themselves the hero of the story. And so it really helps a young man cast a vision for their life moving forward. And it's really interesting to hear some of these guys' stories. Some of their stories are incredibly grandiose. Some are incredibly simple. Some can't even imagine a different life. They really struggle to do this. So it's, but it's just a great 3 days. It's a great 3 days of relationship building and really challenging these young men on changing how they look at the world and how they look at themselves and their place in the world.
We said in the first segment that normal for a lot of these at-risk youth, people that are already in the juvenile justice system, is not the normal that many of us think about.
Absolutely.
In our past.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't make okay the way they've been raised. Like you said, some of them are used to generational incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
They're frequently visiting prison. To go to prison isn't something they're really nervous about. But that's not the ideal for them. You want to make sure that they see the alternatives and maybe the beauty and the joy of life rather than just kind of surviving.
Well, and that's why Christ is so important in their lives, is because, hey, I'll give you a perfect example. We had a young man in Las Cruces. I have two staff people in Las Cruces. It's a husband and wife team, Josh and Ashley De La Rosa. They're awesome people. But Josh called me the other day and was like, I don't know what to do. And I said, what are you talking about? So he tells me about a young man he's worked with who has been working as a coyote for the cartel. He got out of lockup and he was making $2,000 per person that he brought across. And he was bringing people across in groups of 10 and 20. I mean, here's a young man that's making $20,000 or $40,000 a trip. Now, he had family to take care of, but he said, what do I tell him? I said, all you can tell him is the reality. We know where this ends up. Mm-hmm. And the reason he finally reached out to Josh again after a period of time, he got caught by Border Patrol. And they took his weapon and they took his identification. And this young man was just terrified. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? And his solution, he was going to go back to Mexico and go to work for the cartel. And that's why we can never compete from a dollar standpoint. You know, even if the kid gets a job working $15 an hour in construction, we can't compete with the money you can make selling drugs. We can't compete with the money that you can make working as a coyote. The only thing that's going to change these kids and looking at things differently, and it's what I call a heart transplant, which is what Jesus gives all of us when we make a sincere decision to follow. Because in worldly terms, we can't compete with the world. We can't. But we definitely have something that the world does not have apart from Christ. And I've always said, I think one of the most horrible moments must be you die and suddenly you're before the Lord. And here's everything you've ever wanted in your life. Perfect love, perfect joy, perfect peace. All of the things that all of your life you strive to get. And then to have to hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. I know what that does to my heart when I think of that. I can't imagine what it does to God's heart. So, no, I think I feel a real sense of urgency with regards to people sharing the gospel. I don't think there's anything better we can do today. I very much believe in relational evangelism. Why do you have to go somewhere and evangelize to a bunch of people you don't know when you've got people you work with and people on your street every day. And I understand there's a fear of rejection, but the fact of the matter is people aren't rejecting me if they don't like what I have to say.
Yes. John, when you think about parents today, just trying to keep their kids from being exposed to various things, could be social media, could be at school, could be anywhere. We can't be everywhere and all things to our children. We have to entrust them to God. I'm asking if you are noticing as a parent things going on with your children, can they call LifeQuest and can you help them?
We will talk to anybody that calls and asks for help. Can we help them? Maybe, maybe not. I had a conversation with a mother just a couple of weeks ago, and I had to explain to her that this is going to be a journey. It's not an event. Well, nothing's changed since you talked to so-and-so. And I'm like, and probably nothing's going to for a while because, Jim, here's the – I heard a gentleman at a Promise Keepers conference say this one time. He said, gentlemen, let's be honest, sin is fun for a while. He said, if it wasn't fun, we wouldn't keep going back and doing it again. Mm-hmm. He said, the problem is it's only fun for a season. And then when it's not fun anymore, you find you're enslaved. Mm-hmm. You're trapped. And that was certainly my story. That was certainly my experience. And I think it's everybody's experience. So when you're working with a young person and as a parent, I'm so glad that my kids are grown. I mean, it's hard to be a parent in today's world. Some of the greatest advice I ever got, though, was from my mentor when I had a very broken relationship with my daughter. And he just said, John, you just need to love her and pray for her. Just love her and pray for her. He said, you're a part of the problem. You don't get to be the solution. Because I'm the great fixer, right? I wanted to fix everything. And, but I'll tell you at the end of the story, I've got a great relationship with my daughter today because I had some wise counsel that to love her and pray for her. And, she's the mother of my twin granddaughters that just turned 9 months old. She's called and checked on me over this tough time health wise. I don't have enough words of thanks. Because I'm sure that relationship that was so broken would have continued to be broken if I wouldn't have followed that counsel of just loving her and praying for her.
So you're giving a lot of hope to people that you've literally spoken words that other people that are listening to the show today are experiencing, men, women.
It's hard. It's hard in this world. It's hard to navigate. And I think we all want to fix that relationship with our child if it's broken. But sometimes only God, I can't do something only God can do.
I do want to ask you about being a grandpa, because you're having some fun doing that too, right?
It's my favorite thing in the world, Jim. I said, you know, the one thing I found in my life, I was born to be a pop-pop. 9-month-old twin girls, a 3-year-old grandson, and 7-year-old granddaughter. It is the best thing ever.
I love it. If you can help LifeQuest USA and the ministry that they have, it's a profound ministry. If you can help them financially, go to lifequestusa.org. You can also get in touch with the ministry if you have an interest in volunteering. In fact, the last time you were on, young lady called me 5 minutes after and she said, I want to mentor young women. And I gave her your number and she called you.
Yes, she did. And she's now a part of what we're doing.
I love it. John Jones, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, Jim. God bless.